So as of yesterday evening, we now have VP Mike Pence leading the charge for the coronavirus response. And that's reasonably good news because, as we all know, Donald Trump has got a little bit of a credibility issue when he says things like, my wall fell down because the cement was soft, or I'm fighting for American healthcare and to preserve pre-existing conditions. These types of things that he said are problematic. And I could go on and on and on, but the fact that lives are at stake here with the coronavirus response, I think even Trump's defenders internally are thinking, and they might be more at ease with Mike Pence over Trump leading this, to be honest with you. We've got no choice here. We've got to give Pence a chance to see what he can do. But he's going to face some big issues here right off the bat. Obviously, he's got CDC test kits that are faulty that were sent out. One of the reagents in the kit was wrong. And according to an article yesterday in LifeScience.com, only 5 state health departments, which are California, Illinois, Nebraska, Nevada, and Tennessee, in addition to the CDC, can currently test for the virus. Not a problem yet, obviously, but it could easily become a big problem. So opening up testing to more labs, both public labs and private labs, is going to be key in controlling this virus. A long story made short here is that, some background on this, for a lab to diagnose a patient and be certified in that process, they have to do one of two things. They either have to obtain, verify, and run the current CDC test, which, as we know, is got issues with the reagents and needs to be fixed. They either have to get that test and run it, or they can file for a new testing protocol with the FDA, which we all know is going to take months and months, and we don't have time. So fixing the kits, first of all, is key, that the kits that we currently have, and then getting more labs testing for the coronavirus is critical for Mike Pence to get fixed. If we're overwhelmed with testing and we can't test the amount of people that we need to test properly, then you got people walking around that should be quarantined, obviously. And the other thing I want to raise here is that the threshold that the CDC currently uses for people to even get tested includes having a fever. And Dr. Schaffner, who is an infectious disease specialist at Vanderbilt, is advocating relaxing the testing criteria to test people before they even exhibit a fever. Makes sense, right? So, but this is stuff that you gotta get done. You gotta get it fixed quickly. You want to test people that are walking around that could be asymptomatic and spreading it, you know, based on other criteria than just having a high fever. I mean, again, if you're not doing that, you got more people walking around, problem. And thirdly, the last thing here that is problematic that they're going to have to fix is because China and other countries globally, like South Korea, they're dealing with the same virus, obviously, that we are. The supply chains are affected for things like masks and other protective medical gear. So you've got supply chain issues, you know, that have to be addressed. So there's a lot going on here. And the question is, can Pence's team get in the middle of this, react quickly, and get this stuff fixed? And can they also, folks, can they also prove effective from a Washington, D.C., you know, sitting in Washington with all this bureaucracy? Can they be effective from that level all the way down to the county and local level to ensure that testing is done and quarantines are effective at that granular local level? So to change gears just for a second, this is from the Washington Post. It came out about 8 p.m. yesterday. Interesting article about something you probably heard. Former President Barack Obama on Wednesday called on South Carolina television stations to stop running an ad from a super PAC supporting President Trump that uses Obama's words out of context in a misleading attack on former Vice President Joe Biden. So the Committee to Defend the President, which is a pro-Trump group, a PAC, political action committee, circulated this ad that falsely suggests that words Obama spoke in the narration of his book were meant to describe Biden. So in an attempt to sway black voters in the state, the ad begins with the narrator saying, Joe Biden promised to help our community. It was a lie. Here's President Obama. The ad then runs audio of Obama reading an unrelated passage from his 1995 book, Dreams from My Father, about a conversation he had with a barber in Chicago when he was a community organizer. So they took the narration of his book and they twisted, convoluted that to support an ad that was totally false. Totally false. I mean, this is just absolutely outrageous. But here's what you probably didn't know about that PAC. It's called the Committee to Defend the President. And this is sleazy. And it wasn't in the article, but I want you to know this as well. So this came from BuzzFeed, September 14th of 2017. And it goes on to say that a group backing President Trump has been forced to refund six figures worth of donations this year to donors, mostly senior citizens, who say they were wrongly charged every month after making what they thought was a one-time contribution. So the way the group actually pulled this off was after trying to get you to believe that Trump was under attack by the crooked media and we need you to donate. When you went to their page and filled out all of the information, there was a little box that was already pre-checked that said, make this a monthly contribution. And because it was pre-checked, when you hit the pay button, it made a recurring charge every month. So $210,000 had to be refunded. So these are the kind of groups that you're dealing with here. And I don't blame Obama for getting upset about it. I mean, this is insidious. And this is the level at which they'll go to, folks. They will stop at no level in their advertising and their mean, demeaning ads. They'll just stop at nothing. So let's rattle Rush Limbaugh's cage for a little bit. So yesterday, Rush Limbaugh had a call to the called in that said something to the effect, and I'll play it for you here, that the 2% level was pretty high in terms of a death rate for the coronavirus. And it kind of went like this. And interesting to note what Rush Limbaugh does with that information and ultimately how he just kind of throws it out the window. Have a listen.
But it doesn't take away from the fact that this thing is quite scary if you consider a 2% mortality rate. At least that's the way I see it.
Well, I'm not going to argue if the statistics are such that a 2% fatality rate for any disease is high in historical standards, especially compared to the influenza rate, which is 0.1. But again, most of these stats right now come from China.
He goes on to say a little bit about the mortality rate that's coming from China, and then a few seconds later, he says this.
And the Chinese are not doing a whole lot to help people there.
So essentially, he hears all of this, and it goes in one side, and it just goes out the other because, oh, it's the Chinese. And he kind of goes into this, falls into this argument, can we really trust the Chinese? So you just can't. These people are... they're like little snakes. You know, they roll, they twist, they navigate out of it. They just can't deal with the facts. Like I've said before, Rush has a problem dealing with the realities of things like this. This has been his own little thing that he just can't seem to deal with. Rush later went on to talk about Bernie Sanders. And this is interesting. Have a listen to this, too.
Program yesterday asking which is more dangerous for the country, Bernie Sanders or the coronavirus. And I said Bernie Sanders, of course. I've gotten some pushback on that, but think about it. The coronavirus has a mortality rate of 2%. The mortality rate for countries with socialism is 100%. Socialism kills every country it comes in contact with, folks.
Here we go again. They're just not going to let they're like a little dog playing with a bone here. You can't get the socialism bone out of their mouth. The fact is, folks, that socialism advocates the means of production, distribution, and exchange of a country should be regulated or owned by the community. And Bernie is not advocating that. He's not. Unlike Donald Trump, who said this in his rally just the other day. You talk about socializing things, he's trying to socialize farming. And like I said, the farmers just want a fair price. They don't want the free money. But here's what Trump said.
Down for the farmers. They've been great. Although I have been helping you, I gave you a lot of money. I gave you a lot of money. $16 billion 1 year, $12 billion from the year before. I took it out of the tariff, so we had a lot left over.
So you've got Trump on one hand trying to socialize farmers who basically just want a fair price for their products. You've got corporate welfare going on underneath Trump. You've got tax cuts for the rich. You know what this is, folks? This is called sneaky socialism. Sneaky socialism. It's socialism, plain and simple. So for this one, we're going to go way back into the Wayback Machine. We're going to go all the way back to the 25th of February of 2015. And there was a man at the time named Donald Trump who typed this into his little Twitter machine. And I quote him here. He says, "If the Dow Jones ever falls more than 1,000 points in a single day, the sitting president should be loaded into a very big cannon and shot into the sun at tremendous speed. No excuses." So what do you say to that, Mr. Trump? This flash briefing was brought to you by the Rusted Culture Podcast, and you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and Google Play, or wherever you find your podcast. Thanks for listening.